CASA. Four letters, but two words. Difference maker. We all wonder and debate what it really means to be a chartered accountant. But one thing is for certain. There are boundless paths and opportunities that lie beyond it. CASA is not the end. It's the beginning. But it's the beginning of greatness. Today, we are joined by Udo Boma, now Senior Audit Assistant at Deloitte and aspiring CA. He completed his studies second in a CTA class at the University of Pretoria and placed third in the Saika ITC in 2024. We chat about the versatility and magnitude of the CA qualification. We also chat about his journey on the road to becoming a top student, the loss leader pricing strategy in business, how to never forget what you learn, the power of learning how to connect building blocks in your studies, and lastly, the power of positivity for your studies. JK, also some more. I hope you enjoy. Traveler on the road to CASA. Very, 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 very fast one. I literally just wanted to share this one very interesting study tip that I got from a CA the other day. So basically what he did, right, what he did in his studies is in a CTA year, he would treat his curriculum like a podcast or a song that he would listen to on the way to work or while he's cooking. And so basically what he would do is he would get a AI reader that can obviously read these things, these texts out loud. And then he'd listen to it in the background. He'd sort of treat it like, you know, a movie in the back. Well, not a movie, but like series. He treats a study like content. And so I just wanted to share that. Maybe you can try that. I know a particular app called 11 Labs. It's a reader that you could use. You upload a PDF there, PDF of one of your notes, slides, whatever the case might be. And yeah, just a little tip. Try it out. Leverage the power of AI for your studies. But nevertheless, on to the episode. Welcome back, my people. This is the Road to CA podcast, the show for aspiring chartered accountants to inspire, empower, and inform the difference makers of tomorrow. Today, we're joined by someone whose words of wisdom are backed by dedication and academic excellence. We have someone who has passed his undergrad with distinction. He then went on to pass his postgrad with distinction, ranking second in the top accounting program in the country at the University of Pretoria. And then he didn't stop there, guys. He didn't. No. He then went on to pass his ITC, initial test of competence, the first board exam for CAs, I assume with quote unquote distinction.
Yeah.
ranking third in the country. And now he's a Dean's List graduate from 2023. You probably found that out after, like in ITC time, right?
Yeah, it was recent. Recent.
That's a little bit. Most importantly, he loves to play golf. He loves to watch football and loves trips with his family to conservation areas and national parks. He's a man of nature, yes. He's back at the University of Pretoria as an academic trainee, currently signed with Deloitte to complete the rest of his articles. He's a helping hand. He's a brother. He's a passionate and energetic guy. We're joined by Udo Boma.
Thank you very much.
How are you, man?
I'm good, thanks, Neil. I'm very good now hearing that intro. I might need you to MC my wedding or something. The words make me feel good. Thank you very much. Yeah.
I'm glad because when was the last time you looked at everything or a large part of it altogether?
I think when I got my ITC results back. So
how crazy.
Yeah, I was that guy that said, I'll never cry about marks. I'll never get too happy, too sad, because it's just a mark. And then when ITC came, you can ask the people that I was crying. Just a little bit. And
of joy, of course. Tears of joy.
And then it's just reflecting on that whole journey. What from first year to that day where I got the results, it was a process and it came to fruition. So that's when I thought back and thought like, wow, this is what I worked towards. The whole.
I mean, it was 4 years. Like we as accounting students, we are a different breed in the sense that we're not in it for the next 12 months. It's crazy.
It's not just passing your module.
It's not just passing your module. Like even our modules are year modules, you know, like our thinking is so different. And I'm glad to go back with you today on your journey to reflect on it, man.
Yeah. Thank you so much. It's going to be fun.
I think it's going to be fantastic. I think also I love your outlook that it's very realistic. So there's this common misconception amongst, or rather, not realistic, it's relatable, your outlook. There's a common misconception amongst students that top students, they like walk on water. like they do all these things that I can't do, and they have a drive that I don't have. And I would love to just debunk all those myths today with you. Because we have a top student, guys, literally in your class. If you think about the number one, number two, that's the guy that we have today to show you that he's a human being. So, Udo, let's go back. Let's go back to get some context, right? Take us back to when this idea of becoming a chartered accountant began.
Sure. So, some of the people listening will know our PG Dust lecturer, Prof. Plant.
Oh, Papa.
Papa. And he actually said, I was born to be a CA, which is... Mm. I laughed it off, but actually when I think back at it, it might be true because both my parents are CAs.
Okay.
And a few other members of my family also. And ever since I was little, it was literally, I wasn't pushed in it, but I was surrounded by it. So I got exposure to, my mom was an auditing lecturer, which helps a lot.
Oh my at goodness. UP. Yeah. That is the subject where guys, they cry.
They cry. I had a hands-on tutor. So
while you were here, your mom, so did you stay at home or did you stay like on campus?
Yeah, I stayed at home throughout. I live literally right by the university. So
okay.
Easy life, but she stopped lecturing a while ago, but it was that she lectured on PG Dust in third year. So it was that I had it at home. Whenever I'm stuck, it's like, mom, what's this? Please help me.
That's great.
And obviously, she knows me, so she can explain it in a way. She knows I'm going to understand. And, I mean, that was a huge help. But I remember when I was little, my mom was working as a lecturer in the CA program. My dad's a CA as well. So my whole world was sort of revolving around CA. And so I actually didn't know what I wanted to do.
Sure. How?
It's, for me, there's two decisions in your life that's very important. It's who you're going to marry and what career you're going to.
Makes because sense.
That's the rest of your life. And that was a very daunting thing.
Okay.
I wanted to become a golfer.
Not good enough. Yeah. Yeah, you're a dreamer.
I'm a dreamer.
Yeah, that's amazing.
You can argue that. But, and I just didn't know what I wanted to do. And I remember the beautiful thing about CA is my mom used to tell me you can do anything with it. So it's going to be financial driven or not really mathematical, financial driven.
Financial.
In the business sector or corporate sector, likely.
Shut up.
Corporate sector, likely. And
I'm going to cut that out, by the way.
Ah, you can keep it. A blooper.
Actually, that was a nice blooper.
It's a nice blooper.
That was my alarm, guys.
We'll keep it in. I'm making the decision now. No, I'm kidding. You can do what you want with it. Yeah, and that made it a lot easier for me to decide to go into it because I said, if I want to work in the sports sector, I can do that as a financial person in the sports sector. If I want to go into big corporates and work there, I can. Because the CA allows you to, obviously, specific direction financial, but in any sector you want to go. And also, not really at the time, but in hindsight, job security. Because
true.
It's tough. I spoke to a delivery driver the other day. Mm. He came and delivered stuff here to the university. He's got an IT degree and a biochemistry degree. And he just can't find work. So what's crazy is CA, you get thrown into articles. You get signed somewhere. Mm. 99% of people get a place somewhere. So in my first or second year, I realized, wow, this is actually so useful to have in our country where there's high unemployment. And yeah, everything just kind of shaped together. And as I got into CA, within the first few months, I realized, okay, I'm in the right place. And that's scary because you will never know if you're going to the right career path until you're there. So I know a lot of people study their four-year degree, go to work and realize, I don't want to do this work, which is crazy. So I'm very grateful that I picked the right direction. But yeah, that's pretty much where it started. I was surrounded by it. So it was easy to pick.
And what does your dad do as a CA?
He's a financial... They don't have titles. It's a small company. It's like an investment holding company type thing. But he's the financial guy there.
Okay.
So, yeah, very interesting. He does a lot of consolidations. Oh, we know consolidations. Yo. The other day I was complaining, last year I was complaining about my test. And I was like, it was a complex group with a subsidiary who had another subsidiary.
Mm-hmm.
And he drew me his structure of their group.
Yeah.
And it's like 16 subsidiaries at 7 different levels who each has a few subsidiaries as well. And I was like, respect.
That's what he has to deal with every day.
Yeah. And I was like, yes, that test was difficult. And he was like, listen, wait till you get in practice. So, yeah.
But that's very interesting that, you know, like you couldn't even say exactly what he was. He was the finance guy.
Yeah.
And he was the numbers guy.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you become when you're a CA. Any space, you are needed. Any space, literally. So me and my brother recently, we were doing our tractor driving licenses, right?
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, because we're gonna get certifications because we want to start farming.
Oh, that's but, cool.
But, you know, you don't want to employ other people to drive your tractors without knowing how to drive your own tractor. Yeah. So.
That's a very good, it's like, if you're the boss, in any place, you need to know what your employees are doing. And you need to be that person that sets the example. So, very commendable. Very true.
Our instructor, literally, like he mentioned this idea, which is exactly that, you know, there's people who like to manage, who will tell people what to do. And there's people who lead, who are willing to do it because we need to do it. And therefore, people are going to follow them. So it's the same kind of idea of, if I can't drive this tractor or I can't drive this truck and I'm busy employing all these people to drive these tractors and trucks, that's my business.
Yeah.
Like, how can I call myself a leader?
Exactly.
You know?
There's a difference between a boss and a leader, I guess.
Mm.
Makes sense.
Mm.
Very true. Is your brother farming?
So my brother's...
Does he have a farming background or also CA background?
PwC. He's at PwC doing his third year.
Crazy.
Signing off, past his APC, so hopefully signing off for the end of the
congrats
year.
Congrats to him.
Yeah, man.
APC was tough this year. Departure was low, so props to him.
Yeah. And we actually re-recorded our episode. I interviewed him yesterday.
Oh, that's amazing.
So, yeah, it was a really amazing episode for me as well because... So, I did a previous episode on becoming a loss leader. So, a loss leader strategy in business is a pricing strategy where, just to explain it to everyone, there is a product that is sold at a loss, at a discount. So people are like, ooh, it's a product. And people rush into the store and that leads them to buying other products. So it's a loss leader strategy. My brother's my loss leader. So he made all the mistakes. He made all the losses and I just watch him. And to hear his story, it's now another one of those opportunities that I get to learn from his losses, learn from his mistakes, learn from his successes.
That's amazing. Yeah. I just learned something new as well. Loss leader.
The loss leader thing.
Did not know that.
I was curious as to whether it was part of the PGDAS curriculum.
There is price penetration is where you enter the market at a lower price and then it gets you brand recognition. People start to know your product. But loss leader, I'm thinking it's almost like where, let's just say spa says 2-for-1. And that's not making a profit, but people get into spa, 2-for-1 on milk. And then they walk, oh, there's yogurt. Oh, there's cheese. And then they buy. So Is that I'm guessing that's what it is.
Udo, like, it just shows that you just did now shows what the 4 years of study was for. You know exactly what a loss leader is in an instant because you can make connections. Oh, spar, because you maybe in that one test, in that one Finman test, you were analyzing a retail store, a grocery retail store. And so you kind of know a little bit about the basic structure and you know some of the nitty gritties, but then you can learn and you can learn and you can learn and you can learn.
And I have to credit UP because so it's easy to say thanks UP for the degree and leave, but Genian, they teach you that. Everyone complains PG Dance is difficult. It's a tough journey. And Prof Stichling hates when I say the word tough. I hope she doesn't listen to this. But I
hope she does.
Tough in the sense that it's hard work. Not tough that the work is impossible. It's hard work. And it's because it's not just telling you, this is the theory, do it. Especially FBS. It teaches you to think like a CA. It's not just, and that's what helps us so well on the board exams as well. Teaches you to think and understand it rather than just studying it. And when you were saying, like, seeing quickly what a loss leader is, that is so, it's the word I'm looking for. That was my whole approach to studying. It was not just
fundamental.
It was not just studying. It was, what's the reason for this? So, very curious person. And because of that, whenever I study something, I was like, why is this here? So why do we get a deduction for foreign exchange losses or whatever it might be? Silly example there, but, or why in FPS do we add a premium when we get control? Like, it's not just for evaluation. It's not just add a premium. And fine, you can pass the test if you just say,
you'll get a
add
mark.
The premium. You'll get the mark for doing it, but understanding why, you'll never forget it. And that's even in my consults. I'm like, don't just study it. Understand why. Because as soon as you get it, and you're like even now, loss leader, I get it. I'll never forget that term. Whereas if I crammed it and studied loss leader, and 3 months later it comes up, I crammed it, I didn't understand it, I've forgotten it now. But if I understand it and I'm like, oh, this is why, this is what it's doing. And you explained it, like a UP lecturer would explain it. We get taught well.
We take it for granted. Immediately, what came to mind for me, yo, Udo, I can tell this is going to be a crazy episode. just from the onset. My one IT teacher, my IT teacher back in my high school, I went back and I had a conversation with him. And he mentioned how he's of the belief that all you really need is to be able to read and write. I'm gonna get to the point here. Being able to read and write at a sufficient level is really all you actually need because those are the building blocks.
Yeah.
So what you had when you were able to quickly learn the loss leader were the building blocks. You understood basics about like the psychology of buyers. You understood the basics about, you know, these retail stores. Like maybe you had an example that you saw in actual real life. And so those are all of the dots. Now, when you're able to read and write, you're able to acquire dots, which are knowledge. Where intelligence and insight comes connecting the dots, which is what you've been doing every single question paper, every single practice example. That's what we do every single time. You're just connecting the dots. And more you ask why, you're just using the components that you already have.
Yeah.
It's not so like true. You have to learn anything new. You're actually just learning. You're connecting new dots that you already have. You're just creating a new combination of the dots that you already have in your brain.
That's powerful. And when you said intelligence is connecting the dots, I love that. Because I've always said, so yes, you are inclined to a certain topic. Some people are natural sportsmen. Some people do math naturally, but that doesn't make them intelligent. And intelligence for me is finding your own way to interpret and understand it. And that's literally what you just said. You need to have the building blocks, which is your inclination to do math, for example. Let's say, let's just take a math. But intelligence comes in figuring your own way to work out this math problem. Because there's not one solution to a math problem. There's not one solution to an FPS analysis or a consolidation. You can do it in your own way.
Mm.
But being able to find a way that works for you, that's what intelligence is.
Yeah.
And that's why I think everyone studying accounting, no matter who you are, you have the ability to get through it because it's about finding that method that works for you.
Mm.
And if you can do that, you sort it because the building blocks are there.
Yeah.
They teach us well. It's just about finding how do I do this? How do I figure out my way to do this consolidation, this analysis?
Mm.
And if you can do that and get that right, you sort it. So very, very true.
Huge one. Speaking of your way, what is your way? What has been your way, your approach to get success in the degree and beyond?
Sure. So it was a lot of learning and a lot of mistakes because in first year, probably worked too little. Well, first and second year, it was COVID. We were at home. There was no incentive to work.
This was 2020. Actually.
2020 was my first year, yeah.
Mm.
So that was working too little. And obviously you can't achieve to your best, the best of your ability if you don't work enough. I think that's a simple principle. If you don't work, you're not going to get the...
Yeah.
You need to have the input to get the output.
Yeah, yeah.
And then in third year, I switched it around because I was like, okay, didn't work hard enough. Let's hit it. And then I was working way too much.
Ooh.
And it works for some people working 10 hours a day, 11 hours a day. I was exhausted.
Mm.
I was not in the right state of mind to work. I was getting frustrated. I sacrificed a lot of the things I enjoyed, which made me dislike the degree, which is crazy because I love accounting. I love this degree. But because I started putting it above other things that were essential to me, I noticed that I was quickly starting to dislike it.
Mm.
And so I think PG Dust is when it all came through and the results showed it as well. But that's where I found the sweet spot. Because yes, you need to work, but for me, balance is everything.
Mm.
And again, I don't want to prescribe it for everyone because it doesn't work for everyone. But for me, I needed that difference between the rest of my life and my study life. My study life couldn't take over everything.
Mm.
So people used to laugh at me because I played golf before probably 90% of my tests. The day before 90% of my tests, I played golf. And I remember people used to, after a test, be like, oh, how was your round yesterday? Did you get to studying in? And the perception that was created was, I'm studying less because I'm now playing golf the day before. But the key was, I wasn't studying less. I was managing my studying better. So I started studying earlier. And also, the biggest thing I was doing throughout my undergrad that I didn't do in postgrad was the amount of time we waste while studying is crazy. Yeah. Like, think of how much time do you spend on your phone in a study session?
Yeah.
Or how much time do you spend just taking a walk because you're bored? Or going to make coffee? Or, I don't know, just not focusing on your study.
Yeah, distractions.
So I noticed in a three-hour session, an hour would be wasted.
Mm.
Easily, at the start of PG Dust. And at the start of PG Dust, most people get hit. I got hit hard.
Everyone gets
hit. And then that's when you have to change your approach.
So now let's just quickly zone in on that. What hits you hard? Because I think there's another thing that we misconstrue, that top students don't make mistakes. Top students make the most mistakes. You make the most mistakes because you dive into that question. You dive into that uncertainty of, oh, I don't know what this is. So what was that first experience?
Sure. I don't want to say, yes, the workload, because it's a jump from third year to PG Dust.
Absolutely.
But I didn't feel like I was doing too little work. Honestly, it was the intimidation of PG Dust. Like you said, a lot of top students dive in and they're eager to get going and they're ready for it.
Mm.
I got into that mindset of, let me just survive.
Because
PG Dust is hard. No one gets a distinction. No one does well at the start. The pass rate is 30% at the start. And I literally went into survival mode.
Mm.
And that whole mindset of, let me perform well, let me get that distinction, that just disappeared.
Mm.
And I was so intimidated by the fact that pass rates were low, averages were low, that I went into that bubble and I stopped jumping into that question. I stopped, like I said earlier, trying to understand and learn why I'm doing this. And I just went back into that bad habit of just cramming.
Mm.
And that's ultimately, and I fell into that, not misconception, because the averages can get low. I fell into that
negativity. Group,
that negativity that I'm going to do badly. And then I did badly. So my whole mindset was wrong. And I'm a big fan of, if you think you can do it, you can do it. If you don't think, if you tell yourself, I'm not going to pass this test, you're probably not going to pass the test. Like, it happens so often. And if you go into it with that mindset of, I can come number one at PG Dice. Or whatever, that was it for me. I tried to do that. And it, I don't want to come across as arrogant. But it was my goal. So whether it be, I can pass this year, or I can get 60%, or whatever it is, you need to go into the year with that mindset of, I can do this. Whatever my goal is, whether it is pass without a slip, get 60%, get number one. Because there's different groups of people that study accounting. And like we said, everyone has their own journey. And that's what we're trying to find. Well, that's what you're trying to find out of this podcast, which is amazing. And that goal that you have for the year, to go into it with the fact that I can do it. Not I'm not going to be able to do it. And I'm going to fail this test. I can pass this test. I've put in the work. I can do it. That whole mindset, if you can get that unlocked and you go into, because if you say I'm not going to pass the test, your studying becomes negative. Because you're like, why am I studying? I'm going to fail. You're in the test, you're negative. Before bed, you're like, I'm not looking forward to this test. So for me, it was that mindset of, I can do this. And I used to joke, my friends hated me for it. Before a test, I'd rock up there, backpack. And I'd be like, yo, aren't you guys excited for this? And they'd be like, okay, I'm not going to say the word they said now. But they'd be like, get out of here. You know what I'm saying? And I wasn't fully excited for a test, obviously. But I was like, if I come in smiling and I'm ready for this thing, and I'm like, let's do this thing, then my whole mindset going into that test will be good and positive. And then positive mindset leads to positive outcomes. That's a big thing I'm a believer of. And that's what hit me hard at the start. And as soon as I changed my perspective and my mindset on the year and how to approach it, everything just fell into place. So that was what hit me hard. And that's also a big recommendation I have, is you need to tell yourself you can do this. So
it's huge. And it gets into this idea that I was chatting with my brother about yesterday. I probably already spoke, like I would have released the episode by now, but it was powerful, this idea of his. So we look at a statistic. It says 80% of people who get married get divorced within 5 years. Let's say for an example, right? Not a statistic, not an actual statistic. Go find out the statistic. It's low. The marriage success rates are low. So what one might logically do is not get married, because now you won't fail. Now your marriage won't fail. So just don't get married. But what my brother was a powerful one. What he mentioned is how if you do what the 80% who fail do, you are 100% likely to fail. If you do what the 20% do, you're 100% likely to succeed. So beneath those statistics are actual things that happened. So the reason why people fail in a program is not because the program is this crazy thing and you have no power against it. It's because they didn't do what the successful people did. Because people get through PG Dice. They get through it. So what did they do is more the question that we should ask, as opposed to what can we do to survive? Because you can thrive in PG Dice. You can thrive. Udo, that was a powerful one. I want to know where you get your energy from, because you are an energetic person naturally. Where does it come from and what do you get recharged by?
So, interesting question. The first thing is...
to be continued in part 2. See you next week.